We should pray for the message. It's always good to pray for the message. If nothing else, you can pray to the Lord. Don't let him bore me to tears. It's what I used to pray when I was in high school, when I went to church. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would speak to us today about our fears and our worries and the things that kind of get a grip on us and cause us to be less than what we need to be or could be. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in a series of messages that I started last week called Dragons of the Mind. And these dragons of the mind that we all have them, well, they come in various sizes and shapes, but they're things like fear and worry, which is a two-headed dragon, which I've been dealing with this week and last week. Anger, guilt, inner turmoil that just tears us up. Could be shame that we've lived with and we kind of are in bondage to. Resentment or bitterness. Unforgiveness is a dragon of the mind too. Doubt. Just to mention a few possibilities. And one of the things that I figured out about people like you and me, and sometimes I've been known to do this, is we sometimes like to cozy up to our dragons. Whether it be unforgiveness or doubt or fears or worries, maybe it's our shame. We like to cozy up to them, and sometimes we act like they're almost like our pets or our friends. But you need to remember something about the dragons of the mind. They are not our friends. I have a young lady who will show you how she cozied up to a couple, but there's a point of understanding in this. I think that's the way some of us are. We think that they're harmless or they're things in us that we just have, and then they turn on us. Dragons of the mind are things that haunt us in our minds. They're things that loom over us like huge, fiery, breathing beasts. Our lives, our futures, our ability to live fully in the present often is blocked by these dragons of the mind. And what we do is we get paralyzed by these dragons. They kind of guard the roads in our minds that lead to fulfillment, health, peace, to our futures. They block us. Last week I talked about fear, and today I'm dealing with the second head of that dragon that destroys our peace of mind. Last week I talked about the dragon of fear. Well, today I want to talk to you about fear's other head, and that is worry. The head named fear is the dragon head that reacts to something that can be identified, like the fear of losing your job or maybe the fear of known cancer. The other head is worry or anxiety, which is the head of the dragon of fear that watches the road for something that is really hidden from us and we can't really bring it into focus in any real way. Worry and anxiety is fear that is undefined. This dragon is characterized by an overwhelming sense of fear, which may include things like sweating and increased pulse, by worry concerning the nature or even the reality of a threat. Worry comes actually from a word in Latin called rodere, which means to gnaw or chew. We get the word rodent from rodere. Worry is like rats gnawing at the foundation of who you are. The dragon of worry, which lives in our heads, is a dragon that harasses us or gnaws at us and torments us with mental distress at times. This dragon inhabits our minds. It can annoy, disturb our peace of mind, harass us, and with petty persecutions, it can plague us like rats with a persistent, painful affliction. It can pester us with continual small attacks and attempts to break down our resistance and rouse up another dragon that we sometimes treat as a friend, the dragon of anger. Now, I don't know, can you see this two-headed beast with its heads of fear and worry? I'm mainly going to describe the head of worry today, but then we are going to address how to battle this dragon of fear and worry for a few minutes at the end of this message. This two-headed dragon of fear and worry can stand at the crossroads of your life. It can literally stand in a road and it can block you because you live in the shadow of your fears, the shadow of your worries, and you're afraid that you'll be eaten up if you get too close to it, or if you try to get past it into your future and the places that you might need to be in order to find fulfillment. Worry is fear that is undefined. Worry is misused imagination. When somebody asks you, "What are you afraid of?" and you answer, I really don't know," then you are dealing with anxiety or unnamed worries. So, what are you afraid of? What are your worries? What are your anxieties? Picture this scene in your mind. An attractive young woman sits fidgeting on the edge of her chair. She resembles a terrified bird ready to explode into flight. Her body, her head, her eyes flit here and there, everywhere, completely involuntary. Her minister sits beside her and asks her a question. What are you afraid of? And she replies, I don't know. I'm not sure. But I guess I'm really afraid that I'm going to die. Her minister asks her, well, how does that affect you? What does it do to you? And she wrings her hands and she says, I have these spells. At least that's what I call them. I can be shopping or driving a car or washing dishes, anything, and suddenly without any warning, I get terrified on the inside. I want to run, I want to flee, but I can't move. I start to shake. I feel my heart thumping in my chest. I can't get my breath. I begin to get numb all over, and I feel like I'm going to faint. And all the while, I get more and more and more frightened. She pauses, and she says, you think I'm going crazy, don't you? Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think that that young woman is going crazy. I think she is sitting in the shadow, though, of a huge dragon with a head that is known as anxiety, that are fears that are undefined. A college professor was asked the same question that I asked you this morning. What are you afraid of? And he answered quite frankly. Frankly, he said, I don't know what it is, but there's something there. I don't even know why it should be there. All I know is it's there. Now, this morning, as we sit here in church, things are pretty real and substantial for most all of us. I won't say all, though, because there may be somebody here, and you're facing the dragon of worry right now, even now. In fact, I may be stirring it up. But at this time of day and in this setting, the dragon is often just sleeping, but it awakens a lot of times at night, and it raises up its two heads of fear and worry, and they terrify us. I know that I've experienced this dragon of worry at times. And it comes at times when I get stressed out or I'm overly tired. It's kind of like this huge thing, but you can't really get a hand on it. You can't get a hold on it. You're afraid, you're disturbed, but you don't know why. Something out there. We become unnerved by a paralyzing presence of dread or foreboding, which kind of refuses to let us find peace so that we can rest. So what worries you these days? Do you have a fear with no name? Do you worry about people not understanding your true feelings? Do you ever worry about people's opinions of you, even though you're doing your best? Do you worry about sharing your dreams with someone and having them laugh at them? Do you worry about dying, or maybe getting crippled or sick? Do you worry about just what's going on around you? Do you worry about giving your all, and after giving yourself to someone, like your spouse or your children or something or some job or some business or some corporation or some company, and that being left with nothing? Or being told that it wasn't enough? You're just not good enough. You know, we worry about a lot of things, don't we? And worry is fear that is undefined. What do we do about our worries and fears? How do we combat the two-headed dragon, let alone slay it? Well, let me bring you the counsel of God. Now, I have a couple of scriptures from last week that are printed. The first one is 2 Timothy 1:7. Let's read it together. Here we go. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. God does not give us a spirit that produces fear. He gives us a spirit of power. And that spirit of power will help us overcome our fears and our worries. He also gives us a spirit of love and of self-control. A spirit of self-control is really a peacefulness of mind, and that peace flows out of the fact that it is God's love for me which gives me a sense of security of mind. It is the spirit of love that brings this peace and security about. Read with me 1 John 4:18. Here we go. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. And he who fears is not perfected in love. Then that basically the antidote for the dragon of fear is love. Read with me Romans 5:5. And hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. God has poured forth his love to us into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Now, friends, God's power is in his love. Now, if you take notes on any of this stuff, write that down. God's power is in his love. It is love that overcomes and casts out fear. Now, the Bible never describes God as faith or God as prophecy or God as peace. God is not described as moderation or patience. But it does say God is love. Worry and fear is torment, but perfect love casts out fear. There is nothing more powerful than God's love for us. God's love will cast out your fear and worry. Oftentimes, we become very frantic with worry, and it can rise up to scare us, the heebie-jeebies out of us. It will stampede us into all kinds of places that we shouldn't be. So I want to give you a process, a method of combating this two-headed dragon of fear and worry. And three things are involved in that. Now, these sound very cliche. I know that. Prayer, meditation, scripture. Let me say them again. Prayer, meditation, scripture. Now, those three things bring us to God to ask for counsel and understanding and wisdom to deal with the fears and the worries that we have. Now, we also go to God for strength to do battle with these fears and worries. Now, some of us, I know this, Some of us are always bound and determined to not do anything that is spiritual. Some of us are bound and determined not to do anything about going to God about our fears and our worries. Some of us would rather stew and agonize and lose sleep over and brood and sulk and fuss and fume and frat and rave about our worries. Some of us live under that old proverb, why pray when you can worry? Well, for those of you who are bound and determined to continue worrying, let me give you a list of things to do so you can do it at least scientifically. Number one, worry only about one thing at a time. Number two, set a definite days, or a definite time, afternoon, evening, for worrying. Don't worry in bed, in the dining room, or in the living room, or at the church. Worry only in an air-conditioned room. I mean, and not only that, but in a lounge chair. Set a time limit on your worrying. Now, if you go beyond your time limit, give yourself extra credit for time and a half. Never worry when you are tired, sick, angry, or depressed. There are two times never to worry, scientifically. When you can help the situation, and when you can't. Never worry while working, playing, visiting, shopping, or gossiping. Never worry over rumors or what they say. Get the facts. Never worry with a frowning face. Always smile or sing or whistle while you worry. Know definitely what you're worrying about. Write it down. And last, never worry alone. Take it to the Lord and leave it there. Which brings me to those of us who want to take it to the Lord. Prayer, meditation, and Scripture. It allows God to search us and bring to light the dragons of our minds, and they allow God to fill us with power and might to do battle with Him. So I want to do these things. I want to use an object lesson today with you. If you have a pen or anything like that, I want you to write this down. I want you to write down what you are worried about. This is for you, not for me. What are you afraid of? Just write it down. And while you're pondering that, it may take a minute or two. I want Lori to come up here and sing us a song. And this is part of prayer and meditation. So pay attention to the song. Let's pray. Jesus, you are the friend of troubled people, and sometimes we are very troubled. We know that you want our friendship. Help us to want your friendship. So often we keep you just boxed up here on Sunday morning. You came to be the Lord of life, the Lord of our Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, the Lord of our business, our politics, our home, school, farm, hospital, the Lord of our thoughts, the Lord of our desires, the Lord of our unruly wills. So be our friend on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. When we are facing anxieties, worry, sorrow, disappointment, anger, stand at our side. You have overcome all the troubles that we know. We might be better off if we faced each trouble with you. You know our fears. You know our anxieties. You know what gets a grip on us and tears us. So, Lord, give us your hand and your help in the midst of our daily life. Help us to walk with you and leave the peace that comes from you in the things of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. The song, prayer, we're in the midst of meditation. Because this message this morning is really up here, I'm up here leading you through a meditation on discovering and naming your fears and worries. I hope you took the time to write it down. So the meditation part of this process is my message. Now, I want us to do a little work with Scripture today, so that at least we have an object lesson to learn from. I have Psalm 27 printed in your bulletin, and that's going to be the scripture we will use to speak to us about our fears and our worries. And as we look at this psalm, I want you to know something about yourself and everybody else. Your fears and worries lie very close to your faith. They're kind of like a two-sided coin. This psalm is a picture of that relationship of fear and faith. The first six verses are about trust and faith in God. Verses 7 through 13 is a prayer for strength in the midst of fears and worries. And the conclusion is to wait for the Lord to work in the midst of our fears. You see, the thing that we need to discover as God's people is that we have to live from the inside out instead of living from the outside in and reacting to everything that comes our way. We need to discover from within us the ability to live and not to have life thrust upon us, and all we do is deal with fear and worry. You see, dealing with fear and worry is also an inside job. Some circumstances may come from the world around us, and we all have them, but we deal with it on the inside, and that's where the dragons of the mind reside. So let's read verse 1 together. Here we go. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is a stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now, I want you to think about what you just read. Notice that it says, the Lord is my light and salvation and stronghold. He does not just provide light and deliverance and strength. He is your light and strength. And look at the questions in that first verse. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? Now, if you look at that in Hebrew, those are two different words. The first one has to do with normal fear. The second word means to be in awe and dread of someone or something, or to be intimidated by someone. That's a dragon of the mind, kind of relevant, isn't it? Anyone here ever been intimidated by your company, your boss, your spouse, your parent. Think about the circumstances in which you were or are intimidated. Is there a dread involved? Okay, let's read verses 2 and 3. When evildoers assail me, uttering slanders against me, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though a host encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. Now that is a lot of people, actually, or things that come against us. These are our enemies, adversaries, our foes. When our fears surround us, when the struggle is all about us, when the conflict is intense and camped around us, there's a confidence and a lack of fear in the heart, even though in our heads we might be scared to death. Now, David wrote this psalm, and he was surrounded by the armies of Saul. Our enemies are not deficient in ferocity. Why was David confident in the midst of all those fears and worries? The conflict was intense. But we're not talking about self-confidence here. David was trusting in the Lord in the midst of his fears. He was confident in the Lord. Let's read together of that confidence, the place where we will find confidence in the day of trouble when the dragon of fear comes upon us. Let's read verses 4 and 5. One thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high upon a rock. Now let me tell you what that means. This is a picture description of a dwelling place that is surrounded by protection. This says that in a conscious fellowship of God's presence lies security and protection. The house of the Lord here is not just a building. It's a household, such as us. Those of us who are part of this church, we are the household of God, the family of God, and in the context of that household, we find security and protection. David was writing so that he was hid in the shelter of God's presence, like a bomb shelter or a fortress in the day of trouble. Now, some of you don't know exactly what that means in terms of being in the house of God in the day of trouble. You find security and protection within the context of the body of Christ. He also wanted to be covered from the weather of the world, here it says, and that's the normal things of life. He wanted to be covered like a tent, and you get under it out of the weather of the world around you. It also says that God will set him on a high rock. That is a place of security, strength, permanence, and prominence, and a place where you can see better what's going on. God sets him above his enemies. David is confident, but it's not because of his own strength, but because his strength and protection is God Almighty. When we are intimidated, or we lack confidence, or we're fearful, we are always more conscious of the person or the circumstance that is attacking us than we are of the Lord and his presence. We always focus on what's going on out there But as you meditate upon the Word of God and you put your confidence and trust in the Lord God, it brings to mind that which you rest in. Let's read verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. He asks two things there, if you look at it. He wants God to bless him and to give him answers. That has the understanding into what's going on. Okay, verses 8 and 9. Thou hast said, seek me my face. My heart says to thee, thy face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not thy face from me. Turn not thy servant away in anger, thou who hast been my help. Cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. Now that's a statement of relationship, by the way. If you don't have a relationship with God, you can't do this. But that's a relationship seeking understanding there. David is looking for answers. Answers to his fears and victory over his enemies. He doesn't want to get left high and dry in all this. When David was up against it, he didn't fiddle around with prayer. He said, "Help!" And he did it with neon lights. You know, our tendency is to be cold or formal, haphazard or vague in our prayers. David said, "Help!" He gets specific. And a lot of times we won't get specific in our prayers. This was a man in dire straits. He was praying hard. This is not glorious churchified praying. He was laying it on the line. He was saying, "Don't leave me now, Lord. Don't leave me." In effect, David was saying, "I can't go into this situation alone. You have to answer me and meet my need, Lord. I need your strength." Now, some of you may be living in that verse 10. Let's read verse 11. Here we go. "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies." Notice, this is a prayer of balance. It's for balanced thinking and balanced action. You know, there's a lot of confusion that comes with our fears and our worries. We need to be able to do it right and say the right things. So David prays. He says, "Teach me your way in this, Lord." He doesn't want to do it his way. He wants it God's way. What about your fears and worries? Do you need balance in handling them? I have another way of saying this verse for myself. When I'm in a crisis situation, and those crisis situations can be big or they can be small, my prayer is more earthly than David's. It goes something like this: "Oh Lord, show me the way through this, and don't let me say or do anything stupid." Okay, let's read verse 12. "Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence." David is saying, don't let my enemies work their way in my life. Have you ever been slandered? Anybody here ever talk against you? That's breathing out violence, by the way. Especially if you happen to be walking in God's way and doing His will. So David is praying not only that he not be given into their hands, but he is also praying that he not be given into their designs, their devices, their plans. You realize that adversaries not only want to take you down, but they desire and they devise plans. Ever been in that kind of situation? Or are you in that kind of situation right now? I have. People in the land talking against you, breathing violence. You know, there's all kinds of slander that comes against anyone in a position of authority or who's in the public eye. And one of the things that I know is I've been in the public eye, and I've had to deal with this over the years in various degrees and circumstances and situations. People who breathe violence. Okay, read with me verse 13. "I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." When the dragon is looming over you, do you believe that you will be vindicated and not eaten by your enemies or the dragon in your mind? David says, "I believe that I shall see goodness in this life." Sometimes it seems like you face a week or a month or a year from hell. And you wonder if you're ever going to see any good come out of that particular situation. Well, if you seek after God's way, and if you want to dwell in God's family, and you want to ask after God's way in the temple of worship. He will hide you in his shelter in the days of trouble. He will keep you from the weather of the world under his tent. He will ultimately set you on a high place so that you can see what's going on, so that you will be known also for your relationship with God. Do you believe that? This is all about fear and worry. It's a two-headed dragon of the mind that we face along with the world that we live in. Fear and worry keeps us from so many things, and the fear can be externally generated. It comes from outside of us, but it is the dragons of the mind that keeps us from taking dominion and living as kings or queens. Fear and worry will keep you paralyzed, folks. Fear and worry will neutralize you in terms of living your life. Unless you submit it to the Lord and trust in Him as your light, your salvation, your strength, your defense, your defender, and your protection. The dragon of fear and worry stands in front of you, and God says, draw the sword of my word. It is time to put dragons to flight. So let's read verse 14. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Yea, wait for the Lord. This is about timing. Wait for God's timing in everything, and while you wait, you be strong and courageous. When it comes to facing the dragons of the mind, you be strong and courageous. When that fiery beast of fear and worry stands over you, you be strong, strong in your trust in the Lord, who is your shelter, your shield, your light, your salvation, your protection. Friends, be strong and courageous, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Wait for the Lord, and all your dragons will become lizards in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would show us the pathway. So spending time with you in relationship, we call it prayer and meditation in the Scriptures. But spending time with you in relationship to deal with the dragons of our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen.